It's good for us to write down about what some of the good things or some of the God things in our life are, and some of the lessons that we've learned in life, so that we can leave them for our children afterwards.
Proclaiming God's love and truth for you and your family, Wonder Lake Bible Church.
It's nice to be with you today, and I thank God for the opportunity to share with you. I would just like to say that some of you I haven't known before because you were fairly new, or at least since I was here as pastor. I'm Merle Conklin, former pastor here for 18 years, 1982 to 2000. My wife is the lady that plays the piano, Charlene. We have been married for 53, 54 years, and I have recently turned 80 years old and have been in the ministry for 60 years. So that means I have lots of things to talk about. And I left Sunday school early so I could pray that I could get done on time. You know what happens? When people get old, they go on and on and on with their stories and are unaware that people are getting tired of hearing what they're saying. So anyway, I'll try not to do that too much. We continue the message, It's a Wonderful Life. And I just like to say that I was going through some old papers at home. We have lots of old papers to go through and to try to thin out a little bit. I didn't want to thin these out because I found an old paper written by a missionary friend of ours that just died, went to be with the Lord recently, Louise Dentelsbeck. She and her husband were from our first church, and I've known them for many years, and they're friends and co-workers, they have been, of Alton and Ebba Cothran, missionaries that the church supports here. And I reread again a paper she wrote entitled A Walk Down Memory's Lane, and it told about their ministry and how lives were changed through them. And I thought, my, what a wonderful thing, what a wonderful blessing. It would be good for me, as everybody should have a purpose in life, what they want to do, it would be good for me to write down some of my experiences. And then that's what I'm trying to do in this sermon. I haven't written this down yet. In fact, I've already talked to our granddaughter, who's Jenna, David's daughter, and she's studied a lot about writing, and I said, I'm going to write some things, I'm going to give them to you, and you can go over them and perfect them a little bit. And I want to leave them for my family, especially, for some friends. I want to be careful I don't say anything about anybody. And this is being recorded and will be heard, I guess, all over the United States, because last time I preached, my son Dave in Florida, I know we hadn't gotten home yet when he said, I heard your sermon on WL Bible Church. And by the way, if you missed the first one and want to hear it, you can do that. Look under the title of Merle Conklin, It's a Wonderful Life, and a little bit after church today, the second one will be available. By the way, there's some good sermons by Pastor Dan there, too. But I was thinking that I've talked to lots of people before who've said, I could write a book about my life and my experiences. Well, all of us could do that, couldn't we? And the only trouble is we have to thin out what we can talk about. We can't just go on and on and on. And I had a trip with my son Mike. He took some days off of work, maybe 3-4 years ago now. And we drove back to all the towns where we had lived. He's the youngest of our children, and he doesn't remember things that happened in our earlier lives in the ministry because he's younger. He's 40. And our oldest, David, is about 52, I think, and Dan is 51. Deb, if she were alive yet, would be 48. And so we took Mike along, and we had a wonderful time. Just the two of us went and visited where we had been in our earlier ministry, took some pictures. You're going to see some of them. But then we went down to see where my grandparents lived in northeastern Missouri, and came up to where I was born in Keosauqua, Iowa, and the town where I had my first memories in Cantrell, Iowa, southeast Iowa. And it was a wonderful experience, and Mike enjoyed it, and he caught up to date a little bit about our family experience. Now, what I'm saying here is that it's good for us to write down, just for our own edification, about what some of the good things or some of the God things in our life are. And some of the lessons that we've learned in life, so that we can leave them for our children afterwards and for our grandchildren. When I was 16 years of age, my aunt, my maiden lady, had some family history that went back a long time, and she had me type it out, and I did that, and it was interesting. And I hear people that we're going to have a family reunion at Faith Bible Camp May 31st, June 1st, and 2nd. And there'll be about 80 people there who were descendants of descendants of my parents. And I found out that they are looking up about family genealogy, and they're anxious to hear things about people that have gone on before. And that is interesting. It is interesting. And I would like to write this and make it available for our family. And I'm saying this is something that you could do. It would be a good experience just for yourself to look back over your life and see what are some of the God things that have come to you. I'm going to read scripture that this is based upon, and you can see when it, and the scriptures, notice as I read them, it talks about what I can tell my children about, and they can tell their children about, and what are some of those things? Well, Psalm 78, 1 through 7. It says, O my people, hear my teaching. Listen to the words of my mouth. I will open my mouth in parables. I will utter hidden things, things from of old, what we have heard and known, what our fathers have told us. We will not hide them from their children. We will tell the next generation the praiseworthy deeds of the Lord, his power, and the wonder he has done, the wonders he has done. He decreed statutes for Jacob and established the law in Israel, which he commanded our ancestors to teach their children, so the next generation would know them, even the children yet to be born, and they in turn would tell their children. Then they would put their trust in God and would not forget his deeds, but would keep his commands. Now, I want to just notice that later on in chapter 78, it's not in the text here, but there are some God things. There are some of the blessings, the wonderful works of God, which came later in chapter in Psalm 78, of blessings that God gave to Israel. Now, even though as you read this text later, maybe in the day, as you read it, you'll see that Israel sinned a lot. They failed the Lord a lot. They were always complaining about things. But I say, when you write and when you leave things for your children, don't be complaining and complaining and complaining like the children of Israel did. But look at the blessings that came in the midst of sometimes trials. And the blessings, that's what I want to do. First of all, looking at Israel's God things that came to them. First one is mentioned in verse 13, the crossing of the Red Sea, because the children of Israel were trying to get out of Egypt, and they came to like a dead-end point where they didn't know what was going to happen. The Red Sea was before them, and the Egyptian army was in back of them pursuing them, and there were mountains on both sides, and how were they going to get away? When Moses struck his rod upon the sea, and the rivers of the Red Sea opened, and they went through safely. And then once they got through, and the Egyptian army thought, oh, we'll follow them, we'll get them. They got out in the middle of the Red Sea and the waters closed in over them. So that was God's deliverance of this nation, the crossing of the Red Sea, verse 13. And then second is the pillar of cloud and fire in the wilderness. God blessed Israel, and his presence was with them in the Shekinah glory, which was a pillar of cloud in the day and a pillar of fire by night. Now, whenever they were going to move and start traveling on, this pillar of cloud, which hung over the tabernacle, it would lift and start to go before them. And that was how God led them. And that was certainly a blessing. Now, sometimes, even though it's hot in the desert, and they were going through the desert, it was hot in the daytime. They had the pillar of cloud to cool them. At night, that pillar of cloud became a pillar of fire, which warmed them. And certainly a very visible evidence of God's presence with them. And then there's water from the rock. You remember the story that when they got out in the desert, going from Egypt to Canaan, they found no water. Excuse me. I don't know what this is, but I'll put it back where it's closer.
That's the remote control to advance the PowerPoint.
Oh, okay, okay. Charlene's doing that. I'm not used to doing it. All right, thank you. Anyway, they had water from the rock. Moses struck the rock, and water would gush out. Now, the interesting thing is that after he did that, when they'd go on somewhere in their journeys, he would speak to the rock. And you remember, after many years, they came and said, fetch us some water. We want something water to drink. And Moses got mad at them. And he said, must I fetch water for you out of that rock? And he smote the rock again. And actually that rock, 1 Corinthians 10 says, is Christ, represented Christ. And God was angry and said, you're not going to get to see the promised land because of this. You can see it from afar, but you're not going to get to see it. But certainly, as God provided water from the rock in the desert, that was a tangible evidence of the presence of God. It was a God thing in their life. And then there was manna from heaven. He fed them every day with like bread from heaven. It was a little bit sweet, and they would collect it on 6 days, but on the Sabbath he said, no, don't get any. There wasn't any. And on the day before the Sabbath, there would be twice as much, and they could get some ahead. But if they tried to save ahead others, it bred worms and corrupted. But God provided bread for heaven from them. And sometimes they got tired of the manna. They despised it. Sometimes you ladies maybe prepared something for your husband to eat. And I knew a lady said, my husband doesn't like radishes, so I just cut them up in little pieces and put in just little bits. Well, they got tired of manna and complained about it. So they said, we wish we had some meat to eat. And God sent quail to them. He was really put out with them because they complained about what he'd given them. They were always complaining. Let's us not be complainers. It doesn't do any good. And you might even lose friends from complaining all the time. They get tired of hearing that. And don't you think maybe God gets tired of hearing complaints? Well, I think so. Anyway, he gave them some quail that came, and what way I understand the translation, it came down to where they could catch them, and they could prepare them to eat, and they ate them and ate of them, ate them until it was practically coming out their ears, and they didn't like the quail then. But God provided for them. If you go, that says that in verse 27, but if you go on in verses 38 and 39 of Psalm 78, it says, yet he was merciful. He forgave their iniquities and did not destroy them time after time. He restrained his anger. He restrained his anger and did not stir up his full wrath. Now, despite all their sins and complainings, God was merciful to them. And despite all of our sins, haven't we sinned against the Lord quite a bit? Yes, we have. I hate to tell you, but we have. And yet he has mercy and grace for us. And what would we ever do without the grace of God? Now, it's good to reflect on the lessons we've learned in our lives and also reflect on the God things in our lives, even to write them down for ourselves and for our families. And I pray that our testimony to them, what we would write down, would talk about the good things of God, not our complaints, because that isn't what we want to pass down to our children, is it? Well, this is just an outline we're going to review now, and it talks about what are some of the good things, some of the God things in our life. First of all, it's a wonderful life because of our salvation. And certainly our salvation is from God, isn't it? That's a God thing. It's a blessing from Him. Second, God's provision. I shared in the first message how God provided sometimes amounts of money when I didn't have very much, and the Lord provided for us and in some remarkable ways. And it's wonderful. God's provision. Third is another great blessing. I guess any of us could say that. I think you could say that. Is our families. Wonderful blessing to have our family. And our family, we have four. And I mentioned them already. Myself, my wife Charlene, and we have David, who lives in Port Charlotte, Florida. Dan and his family, who live in Charlotte, North Carolina. And then our daughter Deb lived to be 35, and she had a heart condition, congenital heart disease. She died, and her funeral was here in this church in 1999. She was a wonderful Christian. And then our youngest, of course, is Dan, and he lives about a block from us. And he works as a manager of a Bank of America in Rockford and drives back and forth each day to work. And they're all believers and following the Lord, and I'm so thankful that that is true. I'd like to look at our, we want to shift gears now. We've been talking about what we might record about God's things. Now I'd like to record about some lessons that we learned through the years. And I'm going to go through a list of the churches where we've served. The first church we served was Coal Creek Bible Church down near London Mills. It's a country church, right out in the country. And we were there from 1953 to 1962. When I started there, I was just a child. Really. I'm not that old now, not really. But 20 years of age. In fact, I was a senior student at Moody Bible Institute in Chicago. And I drove with another student of Moody who was pastor of my parents' church. And we would drive back and forth, or sometimes we'd catch a train from Galesburg, Illinois, and go up to Chicago. And I started that the first year, and this church was 13 miles from where my parents lived. So I lived there for a while, and then I lived nearer to the church, and I had been pastor there for 6 years when I had met and married Charlene. So she has been in my life 6 years less than when I would have been in the ministry altogether. Now, we were starting up that church. It was an old Lutheran church that had been closed probably for 50 years. And gravel roads around there. Now, since the time I was there, they have blacktop roads in the country there. But it was right out there, and I have to tell you, when it started there, the church had some, even when my first year, they had pot-bellied stoves, one in the front, one in the back. We had to start a fire there. There were no, there was no church basement. We started, one of our men laid some blocks, and a great big rain gusher came and washed them down, and he had to kind of clean off the blocks and relay them. There was no electricity. Well, we had electricity when I came, but there was one pastor there before me a year and a half, and they had gas lights along the wall. That's how, and there was an outside toilet all the time I was there as pastor. That was how primitive it was. And so I wanted to just say something we learned in the first church. And the lesson, I'd like to refer to some scripture from John 6, where one of Jesus' miracles, the feeding of the 5,000, remember, there had a, he wanted to feed some people and there was no food for them there. And so he asked his disciples, get them something to eat. And they said, we don't have any money here. We don't have any food. How are we going to feed all these people? And God, by a miracle, provided for the people. They were fed, 5,000 plus women and children. And they did it because a little boy shared his lunch. It was a little lunch, 5 loaves and 2 fish. And they had just a little faith, not a lot, but you know, they had a great big Savior. And they were blessed. The bread, that boy's lunch, what little he gave, was blessed in the hands of Jesus. Now, I'd like to apply that to our experience, my experience. When I went to that church, I was a young pastor. It was a small church. And we had just a little faith. In fact, as a young pastor, I've been told since then, it's finally come upon me, that I am phlegmatic in disposition, and a slow starter. But I want to clue you, I have lots of perseverance. At our house, my wife will usually take the laundry out of the washer and leave it on a sofa downstairs, and I take it upstairs and put it away. In other words, she's a good starter. I'm a finisher. I have perseverance. And but anyway, I've been told that my face is deadpan, and I don't have much liveliness about me. But I'm not only phlegmatic, I'm also sanguine, which means that you're happy, joyful. So therefore, I've learned to smile a lot, so my face isn't quite so deadpan. And the Lord helps to develop each one of us. A young pastor, a small church, a little faith. You know, when I went there, like I said, they didn't have inside plumbing or anything. They didn't have a parsonage. They said, can you come on faith? And I said, yes. And though whatever the offering came in, they paid for the Sunday school supplies through the Sunday school offering. And whatever came in and the offering was for the pastor. Now, if we had Sunday, we did have Sunday night service. And if I had a movie sometimes, in those days they didn't have a, you couldn't have a DVD, you know. You had to get a film and show it on an old-fashioned movie projector that many times the film would break and you wouldn't get through the whole thing. Remember that? Well, I Sunday nights, sometimes we would have, in order to have something different, we would have a movie that we would show. But I caught on to the fact that if we showed a movie, that the Sunday night offering went to the movie and not to me. So therefore, we didn't have quite so many of those, but that's maybe the humorous part of it. But the interesting thing to say is that God blessed us, and he provided for us, and the church grew, and the amount of money that came in, and there was always enough, just like the manna from heaven. There was always enough. And that's a good lesson to learn, the lesson of faith. And the lesson also that little is much, a little church, a little ministry, a little is much when God is in it. Isn't that an important lesson to learn? And I'm glad that I learned that when I was young, because it's affected the rest of my life afterwards. And it says in Lamentations, it is good that a man should bear the yoke in his youth. It's good to learn to work when you're young. It's good to learn to trust the Lord when you're young. And that was a lesson, living by faith. That was a great lesson from that first church. And the illustration of that is George Mueller was a man of faith who had a Christian orphanage in Bristol, England. And he had the theory that he didn't ask anybody for support. He just prayed to God, and God always supported them. Now, the orphanage that he took care of had in its prime day 2,000 children. And I understand that many of them went out. They became leaders in Britain, Great Britain. Some of them went out as missionaries under faith missions. They had learned faith while they were there. And one day the story is told, and this is interesting, and that's true, that there wasn't any food that had come in. And he brought the children in and sat them down and thanked the Lord for the food. And he said, it's like in Deuteronomy, it says he suffered them to hunger in order that they might know that man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God. And that word, God's promise provided. And you know what happened? While they were sitting at the table, there was some agency that had going to have a big banquet in town. And somehow or other, it didn't work out. They didn't have it. And they brought food in and said, could you use this food? Well, they could, and they did. But I say it's so important to learn, and I have never found it to fail, that we can live by faith, and God blesses us, and he does provide for us. Now, I wanted to say another lesson, because in those early years at Coal Creek, we were helping to start a faith Bible camp. We rented some other camps for several years, and finally, one of the counselors, a lady who was a nurse, our camp nurse, she said, we were driving up to northern Wisconsin to an American Sunday School Union camp, 300 miles. And she said, could we rent a camp closer to home? And we did for several years. And finally, we were charging kids $7 a week for 5 days of camp anyway at that time. And I tried to pay the counselors $7. And I gave it to one counselor, and she said, let's put this into a fund to start a Bible camp. And that $7, that's how the camp started. You know that today we're celebrating 50 years of Faith Bible Camp. We have 12 buildings. They have camp all summer. They've winterized the cabins. I have just written a recommendation that we build a camp, that we build a motel with a community room attached to it out of cement blocks. And it's the reason why is that when we were there 3 years ago, some of my relatives, my sisters, some of our family members had back trouble, and they didn't want to sleep on the old bunks there. And they had it for the young people that they have all the restrooms are way down here, but at night you have to get up. So they went and rented motels, and so I've put plans and sent them to the board of Faith Bible Camp to build a motel. And I go and visit the ladies' Bible class, and I'm the only man there. I'm kind of brave. But anyway, I'm there in the role of being a counselor and a pastor, And so they have a birthday party once a month. And I told him, I said, you know, there isn't anything I need. You know, people sometimes buy me books, and I'm trying to get rid of books now even. I've got more, I've got everything I need. And I said, could you give me some money to what little bit, a dollar or whatever, you know, to go towards the new motel at Faith Bible Camp? And you know what? I ended up with $300 that's in the fund. A whole lot more than $7 we started with, right? So God is going to bless, I do believe. And you know that that camp has started, they have a worldwide ministry because they get some of the cream of the crop of the young people, and they teach them the first year, that every 3 years they go to Cluj, Romania, and they have a faith Bible camp in Cluj, Romania. And the young people, like the first year, they had to memorize, the ones who went, there were about 20 who always go, they had to memorize the whole book of Ephesians, 6 chapters. And then they had to write questions for quizzes and study that, and they taught Ephesians to the young people, about 50 young people at Cluj, Romania. And every 3 years, and they that way they get to go, and they're all high schoolers. They get to go, they raise the money to go, and they teach under the direction of adults, adult counselors that go. And the week after that, they buy some clothes or blankets, and they go out into the hills and deliver them. And I asked them, I've never been on any of those trips, but I asked them, I said, well, how do you communicate with people? They say, well, over there, everybody is crazy to learn English, and all the young people know English. And they go with some of the Americans up to the mountains and give out blankets or used clothes, worn again clothes, I'll say it that way. They give them out to people, and they learn to serve. And it's a real blessing. And in fact, now they've made some trips to go over to India to see about doing the same thing in India. And they have some plans. A pastor has visited, and a couple more are going to have a faith Bible camp in Delhi, India. That's the capital city, in the Delhi Bible Institute. So something that started with a gift of $7 has spread to where it's a worldwide ministry. All glory to God. Started with a little thing, but in the hands of Jesus, it's blessed, it's multiplied, and he can take little people, like any of us really are, and make something big of it. All glory to his name. Now, I'd like to look at the second church. I don't think I can see that clock. My eyes are good, and they're not very good, and I can't see that far. But I see it's time that I should quit.
Keep going.
I'll love. I don't think Pastor's going to give me another time, another chance. Well, the second one we went to was Fayette Christian Church. We were there from 1960 to 66. You see that it's a very old church. In fact, they have a new one now, and I don't believe we have a slide of the new one, but I've seen it. And at any rate, we were called there because of a very special reason. We had evangelistic services at Coal Creek, the first church, and these two were 12 miles apart. And we'd had an evangelist named Gene McAllister from Peoria, and he was a friend of mine. I'd known him well, and he's quite a powerful preacher. He really is. And they had somebody from Fayette Christian Church who came, a couple who came, and the man, the husband, received Christ. And he was born again there. And so that was wonderful. And then they told me, the man and his wife said, could you speak to Gene McAllister and see if he can come, make it a priority to come to our church and have an evangelistic service, because we're a denominational church and we haven't heard the gospel preached in 27 years, and we just would like to see him come. And I did speak to McAllister, and he did come. He preached the gospel, and would you know it, there were 20 people that week who were born again, many of them members of the church who had never yet trusted Christ, really. And while he was there, they said, we haven't had any baptismals either for a long time. We just baptized some babies. They said, could you preach on baptism and maybe baptize some of us? He did. And they went out to Higgins Lake, west of town, and he baptized 25 people. And so the pastor they had at that time hadn't gone to Bible school. He wasn't a full-time pastor anyway. He hadn't gone to Bible school or seminary. In fact, he only had a fourth grade education, and he wasn't preaching very much, didn't have much to give to them. And I don't know if, I suspect they might have suggested that he leave. And by that time, we had gotten married and were living in a little house upstairs and sleeping on a feather bed mattress. And they had a parsonage. And they said, could you come and be our pastor? Well, I said, I could go. But because it was a denominational church and I knew that was could be an issue, I said, I'll have to have a 100% a call, a vote, in order to come. And I did. And the people came, some people came over to my house, and they said, one man's had said, oh, that'll never happen. But they came over and they said, sure enough, I got a 100% call. So we went and preached. I was there for a year, and they had to take a vote on whether the church, a congregational Christian church, would merge together to form the United Church of Christ, which is a pretty liberal thing. And so the state superintendent preached one Sunday, and I preached two Sundays about it, and the people voted, and they voted out. So Congregational Fiat Christian Church became Fiat Christian Church Independent. Independent. And so the Lord made some great changes. A few people left. There were three sisters from Canton, 8 miles away, and they had a congregational church, and they really liked it. When somebody told me in the church, they said, well, why, you live in Canton and you like the congregational church, why do you come out here? And they said, that one lady said, well, I would rather be a big potato in a little pot than to be a little potato in a big pot. And they did try to be big potatoes. And when they left, they said, you're going to lose a lot of money here. Well, you know that the offering the next Sunday was just as good, and the Lord provided. And after we left there, the church continued to grow, and they built a new annex, because about that time, shortly after we left, there was an old man and his wife who had no children, no heirs. And they had a fairly big farm, which they had sold to the strip mines, coal mine there. Now you get some money from that, don't you? They didn't have any children to give it to, so they left some money to build a new parsonage for the church and an annex. And so the church has continued to grow, and it's in Fayette, west of Canton. And they have about 150 population. They built a church recently that's filled with 200 people. I mean, it will seat 200 people. And somebody gave them 4 acres of land to do it on. And one time when I visited camp, they had made the old pulpit that I used to preach over. The man had, who was the pastor, He and his wife run the Amish furniture store in Canton. And he was the building committee member that helped to build the new church in Canton. Well, he helped build a new church in Fayette. And so they fixed the old pulpit. Being that they have work with furniture, they stripped it, the furniture, and refinished it. They put wheels on it, and they gave it to the Faith Bible Camp. And they also were dedicating a sound system for the camp. And I happened to be there and was a founder of the camp. And they said, "Would you have the prayer of dedication?" Such a thrill and blessing to see how God provides, how he takes care of his work, and praise his name for it.
We'll give you another opportunity. There's still quite a bit.
There is quite a bit.
So we'll give you another opportunity.
I'm sorry. I'm sorry. You always heard that old people talked and talked, and they went on and didn't know when to quit.
So well, in men's fraternity this morning, Pastor Compton was there with us, and we were talking about our design, how God has gifted us and equipped us for various ministries and so forth, how it's important for us to know how we are uniquely designed. And I said, you know, what we can do, what we're good at, but also what we're not so good at, what we don't do. And I said, you know, as a matter of fact, I have learned that I do not have the spiritual gift of brevity. And I said, as a matter of fact, I don't think Pastor Compton has that either, do we? So,
No.
So, but it's good to know who we are.
I left class early because I said, I think I need to pray that I can be brief.
Well, you're not off the hook, though, because I want to hear this, you know, because here we're just, we ended at like 1960 or so. We got to 1966, so we're looking forward to hearing the rest.
Okay.
But Pastor Copeland, thank you for coming
so
and sharing with us here today.
Thank you.
Thank you.